Good morning, everybody. The House State Affairs Committee will please come to order. It is about 7 minutes after 8 by my time, which is my time is the committee time. And so this morning we're going to hear from our governor's appointment to the Human Rights Commission, and then we're going to have an overview from public facilities under the Department of Transportation. So with that, would you please... Yeah, I am.
He's off the line again. So.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, but just wait. Just
okay. Call. Okay. Would you call the roll, please?
Representative P. Wilson.
Here.
Representative Seaton.
Here.
Representative Keller.
Here.
Representative Gruenberg, not present. Representative Peterson.
Present.
Representative Johansson, not present. Chair Lynn.
Present, and Representative Gruenberg and Representative Johansson have excused absences. So with that, we're going to go directly, I think, to the public facilities overview. And so, would you like to come forward and introduce yourself? What you looking for?
How do I turn it on?
I don't have a clue. Anybody?
Well, Nancy should have.
Nancy, is there a little?
At ease.
Sorry.
That's a short meeting. Please introduce yourself, gentlemen.
Good morning. I'm Pat Kemp, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. I am the Deputy Commissioner for Highways and Public Facilities. And with me today is Joel St. Aubin. He is the chief of our public facilities on the capital side. He is
in charge. If you move the microphone a little closer, I'm about half deaf here. So.
Joel is in charge putting our projects, our facility projects, out to contract and inspecting them as they're constructed. So I'll turn it over to Joel for his presentation.
Good morning. I'd like to give you an overview of public facilities within DOT.
I think you need to introduce yourself, too.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Joel St. Aubin. I am the Chief of Statewide Public Facilities for DOT and Public Facilities.
Okay.
Well, with that, we'll... start. The Department of Transportation and Public Facilities is charged with public works and public facilities under Title 35 of the Alaska Statutes. In particular, Title 35-05-010 charges DOT with the planning and construction of public works except corp facilities. It defines public facilities or public works to include public buildings, boat harbors, port facilities, dikes, jetties, and breakwaters. It specifically excludes airports and highways, which are covered under Title II and Title 19 of the statutes. My particular section is statewide public facilities, and I deal primarily with buildings, but I will touch lightly on the other modes that are part of public facilities as well in my presentation. The primary modes within DOT are statewide public facilities for building design and construction, regional building maintenance and operations, harbors, and marine highways, shoreside facilities.
Do you want us to ask a question as we go along? Or
whatever you're comfortable with. So I'll take them at the end or I'll take them as they come up. My group, Statewide Public Facilities, has 32 full-time positions. I apologize, it might be a little small. Of those, we have 16 registered professional engineers and or architects, 11 non-registered engineers, and five support staff. We provide cradle-to-grave project management for building construction and renovation. We accomplish the vast majority of our work through architectural engineering professional services agreements that are competitively solicited and awarded based on the qualifications of the engineering and architecture firms. Project construction is completed through construction contracts. We use several varieties of contracting to accomplish this, including the traditional low bid and then design build contracts, construction manager, general contractor, and occasionally competitive sealed proposals for construction. We select...
Representative Wilson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Joel, do we have, like, instead of engineering drawing plans for each individual harbor, do we have, like, maybe several scenarios so that we can say, well, this one will work best here and this one will work best here? I mean, have we ever, over the period of the state's life, said we may save money if we look at several of the drawings that we've made, you know, I don't know what you guys call them, but, you know.
Plans.
Yeah, and then say out of these 10 or 15 that we've done in the past, we should be able to pick one of these to match this harbor so we don't have to start over from scratch every time.
Representative Wilson, through the chair, I can't really address harbors since that's out of my area expertise.
Well, I thought it was harbors up here.
Harbors are part of the public facilities component of DOT, but my section deals primarily with buildings. There's another group of three individuals that do harbors. Okay. But I can address that as it relates to buildings.
That would be helpful.
We have come up with standardized plans for our remote airport snow removal equipment storage buildings to keep our costs down for engineering. And we've standardized that for one and two bay buildings. We also, on our maintenance shops, we have a fairly well-defined layout that works, but it does require site adaptation and maybe a little tweaking of the size. But as far as, you know, other facilities like a psychiatric hospital, the API, or youth facilities and prisons and other things, they're really specific to that particular project, so we haven't standardized those designs. But where we are able to see an economy of scale by standardizing a building that is repetitive, like our smaller shops, we have done that, and we've saved a substantial amount on each building by doing so in the design phase.
Good, thank you.
And Chair, through the Chair, Representative Wilson, and I'm in charge of the harbors program too, and we do that with the harbors. They are standardized. The floats. The only issue you usually look at with our floats is the geotechnical aspects for the piling and so forth. But the ramps and the floats are getting to be generalized standard.
A follow-up. Do we? I know some of our ferries can't dock at some of our harbors because the dock isn't. It just doesn't fit that particular ferry. Are
not
we starting
compatible.
To? Huh?
Not compatible.
Okay. Then. Are we starting to look ahead a little bit and say when we do these, or how, is it too cost prohibitive to maybe when we do a dock to make sure that it can be adjusted if it's a ferry dock for more than one type of ferry?
Through the Chair, Representative Wilson, absolutely. Sometimes we have to modify the dock facilities. Sometimes we have to modify the vessel. When you go on one of the fast ferries, you'll see the deck with a very, very obvious angle on the fast ferry deck, and that's to accommodate the ramp at all tides. If you go on the Kennecott, you'll see some aluminum little wedge-shaped pieces to accommodate vehicles as they come down a ramp. But that is one of the hardest parts of designing a vessel and interfacing it with the docking facilities is how they match up with our tide regime in Alaska.
Follow up. Are we with this new Alaska class ferry? Is that going to have to be a new kind of dock structure at our harbors, or is it going to be adaptable to what we have now?
Through the Chair, Representative Wilson, it will be adaptable to what we have now. My group does not have the Marine Highway component, but we work closely with the Marine Highway group, and that will be taken care of.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I am following up on Representative Wilson's question and comment. I'm very concerned as well. We see this all the time, that we have every every time we build a fire station, whether it's going to be a two-bay fire station or a three-bay fire station or a different service area, every one of them starts from the design stage again, and you start with, instead of having a basic plan. And I have not seen that with the ramps that are in the harbors, such as Homer and Soldovia, and all. So are you saying that the state has went ahead and purchased an engineering design so that they can help by giving that design cost, you know, to the municipalities, because we've transferred many of our harbors to the municipalities? Or are we saying that we just go to the same designer and have them redesign and pay the engineering redesign costs again every time, or we tell them that, oh, well, we've used this design, you can go to this designer, but we get into the whole engineering costs every time?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton. The majority of harbors we do not design now. They are community-owned, and usually those communities will solicit for the consultant to do the work on their for upgrades and even new harbors. The harbors that we do, when communities ask us to do the harbor, we do use a standardized design. And yes, I do believe that communities sometimes, I guess to use the term, they do go back and reinvent the wheel on harbor designs. Many times, consultants using the harbor designs will come into our offices and get the original design and work off of that geotech and that layout and issues like that. So, but after that, we're pretty much out of most of the harbor designs now. They are municipally owned.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I guess we understand the municipality's point of view. If they don't get any benefit by coming to the state and using the state design, if they still have to pay an engineering firm the full cost, and yeah, they can go look at your plans, but you know, if we don't know the plans and can't provide those basically free to the communities, why would we expect them to use the plans? If it's going to cost the same amount of money, you may as well just hire the engineer and have them design something new. So I would hope that the state could work more closely, since those were our harbors, that we have now, whether forced or allowed municipalities to take ownership of, that we could start working in a relationship that gets those upgrades, whether it's docks, you know, whether you're using concrete docks or wooden docks or whatever those are, that we could provide the engineering, the blueprints, and have that amount of money all up front so that it doesn't have to be repaid for by every single community when they do their facilities. So I would really appreciate it if you would look at that a little more closely and see how we could do it. I mean, we are having a huge problem with getting capital maintenance funds for harbors. And the problem is so much of it gets expended in the reinventing the wheel every time when it goes to a community, because my understanding is there isn't any benefit at all to taking a state design, because they still have to pay the full freight of the design. So that may be incorrect. That's, you know, you hear different things. But if you wouldn't mind going back to your shop and seeing if there's some way that we could reduce our capital costs of doing harbors by providing those designs that we have bought and owned, if we've bought and owned them. I mean, if we just have somebody design them individually for each project as well, then the state's paying every time too. So, but if there's a way we could do that, that would be very helpful across the state, I believe.
Could you communicate that through our committee, and then make sure Representative Seaton and anybody else gets a copy of that? Representative Wilson.
And I want to follow, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to follow up on this, because this is really, really important. Even if the money is just pass-through money to a municipality, DOT charges the municipality for somebody holding that money. And I think that they might as well get some benefit from that. And I personally think that too much money is charged for that pass-through of that money. So I think that we need to start thinking about ways that the state is, especially since they're charging the municipality for that pass-through money, that we should, they should get something from for that. And usually, because you guys charge, then they are short the money that it costs to do that project. And so if the state would say, we have these plans, if you want to use these plans, you can, and it doesn't cost you guys any money, and it would save the municipality money. So I think that there should be some justification for that flow through money, getting some of it being kept by the state. So if we could try to figure out, because we're going to have less money coming through the feds now than we used to, and I'm not complaining or pointing fingers at anybody or anything like this, but I think that it would be really great if we started working together in those areas where we can save a municipality quite a bit of money, because at times it's up to $1 million depending on what the project is. And so if the state could help in those ways using drawings or plans that we've already done, they're sitting on a shelf somewhere because they've been used once, if we can help in those ways, I think it would be very beneficial to the communities.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Yeah.
Chair.
Yeah, Representative Keller.
Yeah, through the chair. Deputy Commissioner Kemp and Joel, as long as we're loading a big job on you here to get back with us, I would like to put just a little bit. It would help me if I could understand, we have architects, we have engineers, you know, how much of their work is done in the design element at all, you know, compared to review of plans and adapting plans for a particular location, that kind of thing. There may be a misconception, you know, of what the architects and the engineers do in the department. At least there is for me, because I don't have anything to go on. I'm starting from zero here. But I would like something that would help me understand what our staff is doing, you know, what their what the categories of their responsibilities are, design versus plan review versus permits versus contract evaluation, mm-hmm. you know, and inspection, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, if we could get something, I would sure appreciate it.
To the chair, for Representative Seaton, the plans are, I believe most harbor masters know that the plans are readily available, and what we can do is send out a blanket letter to all harbor masters reminding them that they're available. They're free, they're public owned. I do know consultants come in and use them and get information, and sometimes copy them and take them back and use them in their new design. So, and that's absolutely not a problem to do that. And we do strive to help the communities in their endeavors. Representative Wilson, through the chair, the ICAP rate, I believe, for harbors is 2%, and we'll look at that, and that's a good suggestion to a little more bang for the buck. And Representative Keller, perhaps Joel can just talk briefly about how his people manage. I think you'll find that we don't do the hard designs. Joel.
Representative Keller, through the chair. In my section, we contract out 99% of the designs. My architects and engineers are project managers, so we work with our clients, the people who will end up owning and operating the buildings, to develop the program for that building. Then we hire we do the contracting to hire the architects. We review the plans and specifications that they're preparing. We take their work, put it into a construction contract format, and advertise that, and select the contractor, and then they manage the construction contract, the contractual requirements, and do inspections of the work to make sure it's in conformance with the contract documents, and then we close the projects out. So they're more of a the design is contracted out, and we are just facilitating the project and moving it along to make sure it's complete.
Follow up.
I
had no real idea, you know, but I would have guessed that was the case, and there, that would indicate to me that there isn't a whole lot of capital money being wasted on design. It's more making sure that the standards are met, and that confirms what I suspected, but I was groping for the answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, please continue.
In accomplishing our work, we work with all of our sister agencies, DOA, Education, Health and Social Services, Fish and Game, DNR, and others who have building construction projects. Recognizing that we can't accomplish all of the work with our limited staff, we do delegate authority out to the other agencies to accomplish smaller projects on their own. Typically, that delegation is limits them to a $200,000 project. So, any project that would fall under that amount, they are authorized to do on their own. Anything that exceeds that amount would be accomplished by DOT public facilities.
What was the amount?
Representative Wilson.
Yeah. What was the amount?
Most of the agencies are $200,000. Okay. There's a couple that have $100,000, and DOA has a much higher. Our projects range from remodels, renewal and replacement, ADA improvements, energy efficiency upgrades, to new facility construction.
Yeah, Representative Seaton.
Thank you. On the $200,000 limit for the sister agencies, when they do those projects, are they subject to the little Davis-Bacon Act provisions, like a municipality that receives a state grant?
Representative Seaton, through the chair, yes, any construction project over $2,000 requires Little Davis-Bacon if it's state-funded, and federal Davis-Bacon wages if it's federally funded.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just noticed you had energy efficiency up here, and since we passed some important energy legislation last session, you probably have a lot of work on your plate to redesign as many of your facilities as you can in the next, 10 years, I guess. And I was just wondering, where are you? Are you in the early planning stage on that, or what kind of progress are you making there?
Representative Peterson, through the chair, we are making good progress. We've hired 3 energy performance contractors to work with us. We are just putting out our first group of buildings across the state for them to go in and do energy audits and come back with recommended energy efficiency improvements. And then once we negotiate what the work will be, they will actually go out and install the building modifications. We are currently using $10 million of American Recovery and Reinvestment Act funding from the Department of Energy that we received through Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, and we have until March 2012 to expend that $10 million. So we have a busy summer and fall to get that done. And once that funding is expended, we're looking at using the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's $250 million revolving loan fund to fund the additional projects. The Senate Bill 220 mandated that we increase the energy efficiency I can't remember the exact numbers, but of those facilities over 10,000 square feet, which there's approximately 174 of them, I think we have to do 20% of those by then. I could be off on the number, but I expect that we'll meet that goal and far exceed it.
Great. That's fine. Thanks.
Thank you. Please continue.
Just to give you a feel of the kind of work we do, I've picked out 4 projects that are either currently in construction or have recently finished. First of these is the Anchored Sport Fish Hatchery we are constructing for the Department of Fish and Game. The contract is a construction manager, general contractor type of contract. Our project budget was $96 million. The design consultant was HDR, and we are currently on target to actually finish a little bit ahead of schedule in early June, and it's been a great project, and we...
Where's that located?
It is in Anchorage, down off of Post Road, next to...
Oh, that's the one right outside the base gate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Sure. And so, I noticed something was going on. I used to go up and watch the fish jump up, the waterfall. All that's going to be there, still be public access. What happened to the big ponds out there?
The part of the project will be, to the chair. The
I am part,
the chair. Yeah, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm new at this, I'm sorry. The plan is to, once the building is done this summer, is to demolish the existing facilities and turn those into a green belt. The pond, there's a holding pond that some of the fish come back into, a settling pond. That pond is still going to be there. But there is a visitor's access into the new hatchery. And there's a great viewing platform to be able to look in at the fish tanks within the hatchery.
And the waterfall is staying there?
The waterfall is staying there.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Representative Wilson.
I know that the fish hatchery in Fairbanks has encountered quite a few problems. And are they, I don't know if you have anything to do with that, but are they checking ahead of time for some of those same things in Anchorage so that they don't run into the same problems?
Representative Wilson, through the chair, the problems with the Fairbanks hatchery have to do with water quality.
Yeah.
The groundwater coming out in Fairbanks has very high iron and manganese content. In Anchorage, the water comes out of the ground and doesn't require treatment, so we're not going to have those same issues.
Good.
Follow up?
No.
Okay, continue, please.
Next project that I've highlighted is the Avtec Culinary Arts Center in Seward. We completed this project last year. It was a grant from the federal grant for the economic development, and we completed that on time and on schedule with a design bid build contract with Cornerstone Construction, and the Avtec campus loves it. They're turning out two groups of new chefs every year, and I've had the opportunity to eat there, and they are some of the best that I've had. So, the project we currently have going on is the DMVA Bethel Readiness Center. It was a design-build contract. It is anticipated to be completed this summer, and that was constructed through a combination of federal National Guard Bureau money and state funding. And my last project that I'm highlighting is the Jim River Maintenance Shop, which we received funding, I believe, in FY09. And that project we took occupancy of in December of 2010. And Jim River is on the Dalton Highway. The existing shop was literally falling into the ground. So this was a very needed project to help keep the Dalton Highway open and keep our trucks on the road.
I'd like to point out Reverend Grunberg has joined us.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. We had some problems with our pipes this morning.
Go ahead.
I apologize. But I'm sure you can sympathize.
The next group that I'd like to discuss briefly is our regional building maintenance groups. Both Northern Region, Central Region, and Southeast Region have their own building maintenance groups. They maintain not only DOT buildings, but some of our sister agency buildings as well. Northern Region has a group of 52 employees that are responsible for 398 facilities that have a wide, disparate geographic area. They go all the way down to Valdez and up to Barrow and over to Kotzebue and Nome. They have roughly over 1 million square feet of their buildings and 300,000 square feet of other agencies' buildings that they are maintaining. Central Region has 29 employees and 265 buildings scattered throughout their region, of which includes Bethel and Dutch Harbor and South Central Alaska. They have 1.1 million square feet of state-owned facilities and of DOT-owned facilities and 100,000 square feet of sister agency buildings that they maintain. And Southeast Region has 3 employees and 39 buildings for roughly 250,000 square feet. The primary duties that building maintenance has with facilities includes they pay the utility bills, including electricity, sewer and water, waste disposal. They provide contracts for janitorial service, snow removal, building security, elevator maintenance and removal. They provide schedule and preventative maintenance work within the facilities, and they perform either internally or contract out for smaller remodeling and repair jobs in their
buildings. Are you working on a Capitol building here?
The legislature has their own staff to do this building.
We can't blame you then. Did you have a question? Representative Seaton.
Thank you. One thing that was concerned a few years ago was when we moved the ferry system to Ketchikan, that we leased the old Wardsco facility, which either had sawdust in the walls or nothing in the walls. I mean, but we leased it as a heated building. Are we going to be using the state's money for the energy conservation to redo that building, or is that going to be the owner of the building's responsibility to bring that up into some kind of reasonable economic heating environmental system?
Representative Seaton, through the chair, I'm not particularly familiar with that building, but if it is a leased facility, we would not use the state funding to improve it. It would be the responsibility of the leaseholder.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, please continue.
Just to talk briefly about ports and harbors, we have 3 employees in that section, and they provide design, technical, and administrative assistance for coastal and harbor projects to federal, state, and local agencies and communities.
Do you have anything to do with the port facility in Anchorage?
No, I do not. And the last section component of that deals with...
You escaped that one.
That has facilities, our Marine Highway Shoreside, that they operate the ferry terminals, an office, and some warehouse space. And that concludes my presentation. If there are additional questions,
yeah. Very good. Representative Greenberg.
As Representative Wilson will recall, and Representative Peterson, in the Transportation Committee in the last legislature, we named at least one facility down in Southeast. I'm talking about a ferry terminal thing in some little community after somebody. It was in your Senate district. I don't know that it was in your part. I think it was in your part of the Senate district. And it was at sort of a mobile unit, a trailer kind of a thing. It was Senator Stedman's bill.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, I thought that was sort of a temporary facility, and I'm wondering what they're doing with it.
Excellent.
We had pictures of it. It was like a prefab kind of a thing. Do you remember that?
I remember naming a facility, Representative Gruenberg. I don't remember where it was.
But does that ring a bell with you, gentlemen? It may have been on one of the islands down there.
I don't think it was in my district.
Well, then maybe it was the other part of the Senate district.
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't ring a bell with you.
No, through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, we're not familiar with that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative, excuse me, Wilson.
If you could check into it for me about, because I know when they transferred the Marine Highway offices and everything to Ketchikan, there was a lot of deals made during that time with Ketchikan, and I have no idea where that, you know, what came in the package and whatnot. And so if you could check that to see, I'm wondering if there was anything special made as far as the people that owned the building and us as the state as the leaseor. I don't know how. But anyway, if you could just get back to me on that, I'd appreciate it.
Through the chair, Sir Wilson, of course.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Seaton was talking about leased facilities a couple of minutes ago, and it made me think that if we are leasing facilities from other owners and those facilities are not energy efficient, how do we go about persuading them? Because I assume we're paying the heat and the cost of heating in these buildings. So how do we go about getting the owners of those buildings to upgrade them so we're not basically heating the outdoors, so to speak?
Representative Peterson, through the chair, Department of Administration manages all the leased facilities for the state. I imagine they could, through their, when a lease, they put out a new lease, they could encourage energy efficiency as a requirement for their leases. And
on that point, just so we're clear, we've been over that with the Department of Administration, and the lease facilities, we lease them as heated office space. So that's what I was wondering about, the Ward's Cove facility and the highway, because that's lease space and that's leased heated office space. And I wanted to make sure that all of a sudden our the money that we're going to borrow doesn't get incorporated into making a change for a lease for a lessor that we don't get any credit for because we've leased heated office space. And if we use our fund on private buildings or buildings owned by someone else that we just lease space in, that was the intent of my earlier question following up on what you are. But I've asked that question before when we were in state affairs, when we had the Department of Administration, and their definitive answer was that they lease heated office space, and if oil prices double, it's the responsibility of the person leasing the ability to provide heated office space.
Oh, okay.
Instead of that, we don't have that bill.
Okay. Okay. Any other comments or questions? If not, I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, for coming in this morning and sharing some of the work you do in our facilities. Please contact at any time, and if you can get some information that we requested back to us. Representative Wilson.
I do think that we maybe need to think about if the Department of Administration does lease heated buildings, then those leases are probably going to be going up because of the cost of the heat. So we still have to have a concern about what the heat, you know, the energy efficiency. And so that's something for us to maybe be thinking about. I've got a note on that.
Thank you very much. Anything else? Again, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate you coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Good command performance here. We have, do we have Mr. Hutchings online?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Please, you are a nominee for the State Commission on Human Rights. Would please introduce yourself and make any comments you would like to make.
My name is Jared Hutchings. Shay is my middle name. That's what I'm most commonly referred to as. I was just recently nominated by the governor for the Human Rights Commission. I have been serving the last 3 years on the Soldotna City Council, acting in the last 2+ years as vice mayor. I think that I could possibly bring a lot of diversity and different perspective to the Alaska Human Rights Commission. I'm a young gentleman, going to be 29 this week, and also serving in a political capacity the way I have. I think that's exposed me a lot to having to answer public questions and be on the record, be accountable for decisions that we make in the public sector. I've recently made a transition to the Department of Corrections about 9 months ago, and I also think that'll add an interesting perspective. relative to the Human Rights Commission.
I've also
got background in seminars between cultural awareness, respectful workplace environment, and things of that nature. So I think this is right up my alley, and I think it could be a real asset to the Alaska Human Rights Commission.
Did you say that you just joined the Department of Corrections?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Any questions from the committee? Representative Seaton first, and then Representative Grunberg.
Thank you. On your resume here, it says F&I Lead Development Marketing Insurance Project. What does F&I stand for?
Through the chair for Mr. Seaton, F&I stands for Finance and Insurance. I was trained formally by General Motors to the tune of roughly 200 hours total accumulation, and basically that would be, and accordingly I had my Alaska State Insurance Limited Line license, which covers gap insurance, limited life and disability, and it was an application for the automotive segment, so what we would refer to as back end or finance products.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hutchings, are you currently employed by the Department of Corrections, or are you employed by the General Motors dealer down there? What kind of work do you do?
Through the chair to Representative Grunberg, I am currently employed by the State of Alaska Department of Corrections. I left Glacier Pony at Duke GMC in, I believe it was late June of 2010.
And may I ask, through the chair, if I may continue, please. What do you do for corrections?
Through the chair, Mr. Grunberg, I am a corrections officer.
And is that at what facility, Wildwood?
So that would be Spring Creek Correctional Center, sir.
I see. And did you, if I may continue, please?
Please.
Did you apply specifically for the Human Rights Commission, or what was your preference when you submitted an application?
That was one of, on the application, it asked for three. That was my second choice. The first that I had applied for was, I believe, Board of Game. And I interviewed for that in mid-2010, I believe, and then was contacted around late January, early February of this year to gauge my interest for the Human Rights Commission.
May I continue?
Continue.
And may I ask, sir, what was there that caused you to want to apply for the Human Rights Commission? Why did you choose that commission?
I believe that human rights and civil liberties are an inherent cornerstone of the American society. I think it's what makes us uniquely American. I think it kind of speaks to my new profession in corrections, upholding laws and orders of not only the state of Alaska, but the United States. I think it's all inherent to what it means to be an American. I think it's something that's pretty important. Everybody deserves their innate rights and civil liberties. So, I mean, it's something that I believe is very intricately attached being a citizen in the United States.
Have you had any practical experience or with any civil rights, human rights? Have you worked on any of these issues or problems in the past? Had any direct experience with it?
In regards to any types of human rights violations or investigations of any sort, no, sir, I have not.
Okay. Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was the direction I was going with my questioning, too. This isn't, have you attended any meetings or had anything to do with the Human Rights Commission, sir?
The Human Rights Commission, no, I have not had. They had an orientation tentatively scheduled for this part of the month. And I have been through about 12 hours of seminars between cultural awareness and respectful workplace put on by the Department of Administration, which goes hand in hand with you know, the types of complaints that would be made in that field, would be made to Alaska Human Rights Commission. So I've got a broad overview there, but no, I've not actually worked in a capacity dealing with complaints or investigations of human rights.
How would you define cultural
awareness?
What was the word?
Awareness.
A cultural awareness? But
cultural awareness, sir, is, in my determination would be that it is knowing and recognizing the attributes that different cultures, genders, social orientations bring to a workplace, knowing the legality of, you know, things that are acceptable and not acceptable, not just in a workplace, but also, you know, in public life. There's certainly lots of anti-discrimination lawsuits that have been out there, and, you know, it's a tightrope, so to speak, that you need to be aware of, and you need to be respectful of people, and I think that's, more than anything, it's an education of people, myself included, on what people's cultural backgrounds are, where they come from, and respecting that.
Where do you draw the line if you'd have to choose between your own opinions on issues that might come before you and the law?
Oh, without question, the law wins every time. You know, I make that same approach in my position as vice mayor. I mean, my personal opinions certainly have an impact on some decisions, but other decisions, if there's a large outcry of the voting populace, that's who put me there, that's who I'm accountable to. And I think law is much the same way. You know, I've been chosen to uphold that law and the letter of that law. And, you know, that's there's no real gray area there. It's black and white. And if the law is on the side, that's the side that I have to fall on.
Thank you. I may add some more. Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hutchings, I was wondering if you've spent time overseas. Have you lived in a foreign country, experienced foreign cultures for a lengthy period of time as in the military or as a foreign exchange student or anything?
Representative Peterson. I have not lived overseas. I've done some extensive travel into continents of Europe, England, Scotland, Australia, New Zealand. I've done a lot of time in Hawaii, of course, so Mexico, Canada, you know, Caribbean islands. I've done some extensive travel. I was fortunate growing up with parents that wanted to get me abroad. I have not lived abroad for any length of time, you know, past a month of traveling at one given time. So the answer is yes, I have been around and seen great lengths of the world and been very very lucky to do so, but I've not actually lived overseas for any time. And no, I'm not a veteran and not have served overseas at all.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Greenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask two lines of questioning here. First, I, as a practicing attorney, have sat as a hearing officer on a number of cases for the Alaska State Human Rights Commission. And some of the cases have been very difficult, some of them not so difficult. Have you talked with the staff or other commissioners about your role, what it will be as an administrative adjudicative tribunal? You'll be sitting as a judge to hear human rights cases, or at least to review the recommended decision of hearing officer. Have you talked to anybody about that? Do you know what you'll be getting into?
Through the chair, Representative Greenberg, yes, I have talked to people at the Human Rights Commission, had a short conversation with Commission Chair Lundquist as well. certainly aware that, you know, acts in a quasi-judicial respect, and that, yes, I am well aware that I'll be responsible for adjudicating decisions based on the recommendations of the investigators. And yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that's very interesting. And certainly, I mean, there's going to be positions that are going to be tough decisions. But I certainly think, with my past experience in public sector, serving the city of Soldotna for the last several years, that I'm up to the task.
May I continue, please?
Continue, please.
Okay. The other question, line of questioning I'd like to pursue, is there have been a number of serious allegations in the last several years about the long backlog of the State Human Rights Commission and the fact that many, many inquiries take many years to resolve, if they're resolved at all. Has anybody discussed that with you?
Been informed that there is a backlog as far as the length of investigation of said complaints. I have not had any discussions to that matter specifically. No, sir.
If I may, please.
Yeah. Of course, it's difficult for one person on the commission to eliminate a backlog.
Oh, of course. Yeah. The reason I've said that is because you obviously are a person of, you're a little younger than I am a lot.
And you're younger than me.
Yeah, we've got some people on our committee who are a lot a different generation than you. And not you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hutchings.
Yes, me.
I
may make a complaint to the Human Rights Commission on that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But with your energy, obviously you're an energetic person, and you have experience. You mentioned that you're on the city council, that you are dealing with the administration. I saw that somewhere here, that you're dealing on the city council with administration, managed administration, right up at the top. This is a very serious problem, and I would like you to see if anything can be done to try to get cases resolved in a more speedy manner, because in this kind of a situation where it's often a he said, she said situation and nobody is lying, but people are seeing events from a totally different perspective. They're difficult cases, at least the ones I have been involved with. So justice delayed is justice denied, to coin a phrase. And it's important to see what we can, as a state, can do to get just and fair finality in this. Will you do what you can to look into that and try to see what, even if we have to put more resources in it, I'd certainly be willing to look into that. Can you do that?
Through the chair, Representative Bloomberg, absolutely. As they say, once I get my feet wet, so to speak, I would be more than happy and willing to dive into that particular issue head on. Like you, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, if it's taking several years plus for investigations to happen, that's unacceptable. I know at the federal level, you can usually see an investigator within the first several months or so, and that would be a timeline that would be more agreeable to I think all parties. Rarely do you want to see these types of things dragged out. So absolutely, I would be more than willing and happy to tackle that issue.
I can provide details if you wish. Thank you for that commitment. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Of course, justice delayed is justice denied. That's not coining a phrase.
No.
Been around forever. If there are no further questions, Representative Keller, do you have a motion or a question?
Sure. First, thanks, Jared, for stepping forward to serve the state. Appreciate it. You'll find it a learning experience, I'm sure. We all do in our jobs. But thank you. I would make a motion that we move Jared Hutchings' name forward to the full body for consideration.
Okay. Without objection, we'll move it forward. I'd like to thank you very much, sir, for your commitment. It's a very important duty you're facing. And
thank you, sir.
Thank you. And best of luck to you. Okay. We'll close. Is anybody off? I forgot there. Anybody online or? Okay. With that, we have no meeting scheduled for the 3rd or for the 5th. And I say happy March, everybody. And, any other business to come before the committee? If not, thank you for your service this morning. We are adjourned.